next co-host is Senator Warnock, Georgia's first Black United States Senator, who served as the senior pastor of the historic Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. Senator Warnock.
Hello, everybody. But indeed, we are focused now on one of our country's most sacred and fundamental rights, the right to vote. And as I've said on the floor of the Senate, and to people in every corner of my state, Congress must pass voting rights no matter what. Voting rights are preservative of all other rights. That means that we have to do everything we can to defend the voices of the people in our democracy. And right now, can there be any question at all that our democracy is under attack? In many ways, last November's election could be viewed as our nation's most successful election. Not because of who won, but because of who showed up. We had the largest turnout of any election. And since last November, and since my election in January, more than 400 voter suppression bills have been introduced in 49 states. 18 states have passed 30 laws to restrict voting access. My home state of Georgia is ground zero for voter suppression. Earlier this year, Georgia's state legislature passed SB 202, making it harder to vote for countless Georgians by creating hurdles for voters to request an absentee ballot, by reducing the number of drop boxes where voters can return their ballots, by making it harder for community organizations to assist voters, and by making it possible for a single person, imagine that, a single person to make unlimited challenges to the ability of other Georgians to vote. And as if that weren't enough, Georgia's law also allows partisan actors at the state level to control our state board of elections and take over local elections, which they are threatening to do right now. And it allows them to engage in these takeovers even while the votes are still being cast. Our federal government and Congress specifically must act. It is our duty. It is our responsibility. It is within our purview. We must pass federal voting rights protections to provide a national baseline for voting, basic standards that apply no matter what state you live in. And that's why I'm working so hard right now for voting rights in the Senate. Because voting rights is not just an issue alongside other issues. And so I'm working hard with my colleagues in the Senate to get this done. And I know that all of you are standing with me in this fight. We do this work together. And so as I conclude my remarks, I think of Congressman John Lewis. He inspired me in life, and his witness speaks even from the grave. As I was preparing last summer to preside over his funeral, and I thought about the footage that many of us have seen time and time again of him crossing that Edmund Pettus Bridge, I asked myself, what was John Lewis thinking? In fact, what was Hosea Williams thinking as they crossed that Edmund Pettus Bridge? I assure you that he was not thinking about winning a Presidential Medal of Freedom. That's not why he did it. He was not thinking that somehow he would walk into glory and that at the end of his life, at his funeral, three American presidents would show up on both sides of the aisle to pay him homage. He could not have imagined that. John Lewis stood up for voting rights because it was the right thing to do. He was inspired by the words of Dr. King, who in 1957 said, "Give us the ballot, and we will place on the benches in the South judges who will do justice and love mercy. And we will place at the head of Southern states governors who have not only felt the tang of the human, but the glow of the divine." This is a critical moment, and our country is at an inflection point, similar to the one we faced in 1965. Make no mistake, we are in a 911 emergency for our democracy. History is watching us. The future is waiting to see if we will act. Let's stay in this fight until the victory is won.
Now we are in panel two of our Voting Rights Brain Trust. Again, let's start with who I'm going to say, she's my governor. This is Stacey Abrams, the chair of Fair Fight Action. Speaking of fighting, I want to start with someone who's trying to engage us in a fair fight. But Stacey, they're not playing fair. So tell us how we can do that in this day and age with more than 400 voter suppression laws being introduced in states all over the country, including your own. What's fair about that fight?
There is nothing fair about the fight, which is why we exist. And Angela, I want to say thank you to you and certainly to Representative Sewell for your extraordinary leadership. It's an honor to be on this panel. Very quickly, what we need to recognize is that we are at a turning point in democracy. This isn't just about winning elections. This is about the fundamental nature of the kind of country we want to be. And we have, over the last 20 years, watched stable democracies fall to authoritarianism. We pretend that that could never happen to us, and we know it's not true. What we are fighting for are three things. One is the right to vote, which undergirds the nature of democracy. And that is made very clear through the fight for, against those 400 bills you referenced, and thus the fight for the People Act and the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act that the House has passed. But the second part, you get the right to vote and you secure it. The second part is having the right to elect the people who represent you. And that's the work that Attorney General Holder is doing, the work that we've been doing through Fair Count, a second organization I founded that really looks at who do we get to pick. And then the third piece is really pushing back against the subversion of our democracy. The bills that we are seeing passing in Texas, in Georgia, in Iowa, these laws will allow them to overturn elections. And if we forget, the goal of January 6th was the subversion of our democracy. And thus, if we do not stand up and pass these bills that will push back against the attempt to not only stop us from participating, but to take away our choices and then to silence our voices once we've made a decision, we will not only not have a fair fight, we will no longer have a democracy that's worth speaking of in this country.
We will move right along to Jalen. I want to come to you because, you know, the organization is called More Than a Vote. And I think so often, again, we keep people in this box that is confined specific to the vote. There's the fight around the vote. There's the political power they have the ability to exercise after they cast the ballot and before they've casted the ballot. What are some of the other things, some of the other tools that you think is really important for folks who would say, I'm going to listen because Jalen is talking to about this. What's something else that folks need to be aware of, Jalen, in this fight for voting rights?
Here you go, a perfect example. And I'm going to use how sports had a huge effect. And I'm a Michigan native, but also have family in Georgia. And the WNBA were the first people I saw with Vote Warnock shirts on. I didn't know who that was. I remember being in Georgia, seeing people wearing those shirts because the WNBA players were doing it. How about the Milwaukee Bucks? They just won the championship this year. They were the first team that decided in the bubble that they weren't gonna play after the murder of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor. And you know what they did during that couple of hours? They started calling and calling again, like you guys have just been advised today. And those voices became sirens because this is a two-time MVP in Giannis Antetokounmpo. And there are a lot of sponsors expecting this game to start at 7 p.m. and they're not out there. That's how the power of sports and or your voice can now make other people want to muzzle you because they recognize that you have that power. And so when you exercise it and you see it play out the way those two circumstances did, I don't have to tell any of you, it flipped the election. It literally flipped the election. And so it's really important, one by one. And I have to just say this. I'm still arguing with some people, to be honest with you, about getting vaccinated. I remember arguing with people about wearing seatbelts. You remember that time? Oh, it's uncomfortable. People riding in the car, stick your arm out. You didn't want to wear a seatbelt. I remember 13 and under, the first time, 15 and under, I believe. Whatever, I'm getting old. The first time I got on the airplane, the people on the airplane were smoking cigarettes. And I was like, I can't believe you can smoke cigarettes on an airplane, right? That's the same thing I bring up with vaccinations and voting. There was a time in this country that we didn't necessarily trust the system because there was nobody running that looked like us. I was there when that changed. I was at the inauguration when Barack Obama got elected. That day it changed for us. And so don't take your voice, don't take your vote for granted. Make sure locally, nationally, we continue to up the ante, because this year more people voted than ever. And so we have to continue that momentum.